time now for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Just a cursory view of our culture is all it takes to show that we really are in a sea of chaos. Now, the only answer can be found in the solid, strong word of truth, the Word of God. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, our pastor here at United Reformed Church in Linden. Let's head now to the Word of God that we might find comfort and strength and solace in time of need. Once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you've been with us this week on Abounding Grace, you know we've been outlining two different types of theologies, two different types of righteousness, two kinds, if you will. And we looked at a theologian of glory and a theologian of the cross. And yesterday I outlined one of my experiences when I first understood the gospel and what had happened to me when I understood how a sinner is right with God. I thought to myself, I had a choice here. This righteousness that God has provided is said to be absolutely apart from the law. And so I understood that to mean God had announced this righteousness totally apart from my own personal acts of law keeping. And so I was confronted with these theologies. Which approach would I take? There was a little false confidence, of course, always there, and a little whisper in my ear that said, well, if God's law says thou shalt not, then take the approach you should clean up your own life yourself. And you start up the ladder yourself in a new way of righteousness before God, to live a holy life before Him. This is a very deceptive thing that goes on, and so please listen carefully. This is exactly where many are deluded who make moments decisions and walk aisles and crusades. They're involved in some really bad sins, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, or whatever. And they get a lot of pressure put on them, and so they run forward and they make the decision because they want to stop all that. Of course, who doesn't want to stop all that? Who's stuck in it? And so what they've done essentially is they've taken the thou shall not as the answer to the problem. They've used the law as the answer to the problem as they make that moment's decision. And so he decides in himself, look, I'm going to pick up myself by my bootstraps. I'm going to stop the drugs. I'm going to stop the alcohol. I'm going to stop the pornography or whatever. And so the temptation is to use the law as the means to make things better. Now, in that scheme, the law becomes a defense mechanism against the free gift of grace. It becomes a defense mechanism against anything outside of me because I'm going to do it myself. And so, like the addict, the person may stop for a period of time, and the better he does, the more a false confidence begins to grow in him. It's a little bit of pride that he's doing it himself. Even though the life is often up and down like a wave of a sea, the little progress is his own righteousness. And so, for instance, the addict to alcohol could stop for a while, and that success becomes a defense mechanism against what the law was designed to do in the first place. And you remember we've been looking at that. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, Paul said. And so the other option, at least for me, was to confess openly to the Lord, I've been living a lie. In my own darkness of heart, I'm beginning to see that my life is full of all the evils, and now I become very conscious through a realization of what your law is really doing to me. I've come to grips with one truth, Lord. I'm stuck. I can't get out. I am the worm. I am addicted. I can't do any of this myself. I can't pull up myself by my bootstraps. And so the truth of Romans chapter 3 then becomes very real. I'm vile, and if you judged, I'm done. And it was at this moment, at least in my experience, of a complete shattering of vain confidence in me, that in totally renouncing myself, I began to see that God was telling me, and God was showing me, and He had brought me to the point of just where I should be. Because for the first time in my life, I could understand what he meant when he had said that he provides a righteousness apart from the law, apart from my delusional attempts to get right with him in my own ways and in my own works and in doing the law. Paul is saying here, God made known that there is a righteousness that he will accept. And that has always been announced, hasn't it? Notice he says the law and the prophets gave witness to this one way of true righteousness that God would accept. And let me say, when we put these two categories of a theology of glory and a theology of cross together, we really do see just how prone we are still, after hearing God's description of us in our total depravity, to look at our model lives as a way of acceptance before Him. A desire still resides in all of our hearts to want to still, even after the law and the prophets tell us throughout the Old Testament, there has always been and there still is only one way of righteousness, we still try incessantly to create a righteousness on our own. And that's just why throughout history, the greatest question that has ever been asked is, how can a sinner be right with God? Remember Job asked that in Job 25, verse 4? How then can a man be righteous before God? Or how can he be pure who is born of a woman? If even the moon does not shine and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less man who is a maggot and the son of man who is a worm? Notice the brutal realization that man is a maggot. How can a maggot be right with such a holy God, whose presence would consume any form of offense or impurity? That, of course, is the hardest question to answer, not because God hasn't made it clear, but simply because we have naturally in our hearts a theology of glory. We're going to climb up Jacob's ladder ourselves, aren't we? And you see, in all the world religions, as the basis of acceptance before God are personal acts of righteousness. Whether it be sacrificing your body with a bomb strapped to you, lying on beds of nails, walking on coals of fire, whatever it might be, these are all characteristics of climbing up the ladder to God to satisfy Him. That is in our natures. That's what we think. We're pretty good. And I would be presumptuous to think that there are many, even over the air, who hate hearing about sin, who hate hearing that they have no abilities in and of themselves to please God because they're trusting in their own personal righteousness. You know, that was his whole point, Paul's whole point to the Jews. They trusted in their model lives. They didn't see that they were just as vile as the Gentiles by nature. Oh, I'm sure it's in all of us. It's in me. That tendency, of course. And I'm constantly faced with suppressing that and repenting for it. The fundamental difference in the heart of the true Christian is the sobering realization that we need a righteousness totally outside of ourselves because we offer nothing to God by way of what He will accept. And so going back to my life, when I for the first time understood that this righteousness was totally outside of me, it was over there, it was outside of me, the next question that came to me was, Lord, how can I make that righteousness mine? It may be over there, but what has that righteousness to do with me, a guilty sinner? How can I take that to myself? And it is here that Paul answers in Romans 3, verse 22. He says in 21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And then he says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. What is he saying? This righteousness that is available and one that God will accept is Jesus Christ's righteousness. It is his whole life. And Paul is saying, what? Here is the righteousness. It's over here. It's Christ's righteousness. It is perfect in every way because it merits eternal life for those who have it. So how do I receive it? Through faith in Jesus Christ. The whole point of the book culminates in this statement. What was Paul wrestling with? A whole human race looking for other ways of righteousness. And what among the religious? Well, what did he react against? They were trying to produce this righteousness through the act of circumcision and national status and covenant benefits and so on and so on and so on. And Paul's broken this mentality. He's broken this mentality in the Christian who trusts in his baptism or his covenant status or going to church twice and so on. Those are false confidences if you think that's what makes you right with God. The Lord is saying, I've chosen one way for a sinner to be right with me, through faith in Jesus, my beloved Son. That's the message. Faith is the outstretched arm to receive the gift. Faith is the instrument that God has said through this vehicle, through this means that we are declared righteous. And what is faith? Faith is that in that a knowledge of the law and the gospel, an agreement with what the law says about thou shalt not and revealing the darkness of our hearts and the righteousness the gospel announces to us in Christ. It is a hearty trust with a full believing heart that Jesus is the only way, deep reliance upon him to save, leaning and falling upon this stone while I totally cast down myself. Paul says this in verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Reemphasizing this again, none can obtain it, Jew or Gentile. All have missed the mark terribly. That's what sin is. Missing the mark, breaking God's law. Missing the mark to obtain to his righteous demands and standards. But those who have faith in Jesus to all and on all who believe, they are what? This is the most beautiful statement in all the Bible. Freely justified. Freely declared righteous by his grace. You see, what makes the but now here so glorious, in light of all the darkness that was exposed to these chapters, that's what makes it so glorious, is that he has freely declared us justified through faith in Christ. That is why we must be willing to hear the very grim reality about our natures. What does God see in us by nature? Our throats are open tombs. Our mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. All of our righteousness is as a filthy rag. When we hear that, we are willing to stop saying, I can do it myself. And you are finally ready to receive and hear about the only righteousness that God will accept. When one comes empty and broken and says, Lord, I can do nothing, and he looks over the horizon and sees by faith the revelation of Christ in his glory, and he believes in him, the great exchange occurs, and we realize that all of our filth, all of our cursing, all of our bitterness, all of our righteousness as a filthy rag was laid upon his back when he went to Golgotha. And when I trusted in Jesus Christ, recognizing I could do nothing to free myself from this misery, God justified me by his grace. That, my friends, is the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. You have a sincere invite to join us to hear this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We're going through Romans in the evening, and we do give you that sincere invite to join us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.